Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast. It's your boy, J.A. in the building, James Abrams. We got the host with the most that's always getting on my nerves, a.k.a. Chad Abraham.
Oh, you mean also known as Chad, although known by his birth name. Never heard you call J.A. before.
Everybody calls me J.A.
That's not true. I've never, and I'm never going to.
Okay, well, I said most of my friends call me J.A., so.
Well, I'm half of them, so no. Who else does that?
What?
I don't know.
Why do you think you're my only friend? Hey, man, we got company, man.
We do.
Jesus
Special
Christ.
Company.
Yes. We got Dr. James Alberti in the building, a.k.a. Dr. 007 Newt. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's a pleasure to have you in the building with us.
Sir.
You are our first chiropractor, so this is I believe so.
Yes.
Through a series of unfortunate events.
Everybody want to apologize for last week. So he's saying that because we had another chiropractor that was scheduled to be here last week.
Oh, for real? Okay.
But I was out, so I'm training for a marathon.
Okay.
So I was out running. And I had an incident where my legs locked up, my body locked up. I had to stop at a gas station, get some stuff. Then my phone died, all type of stuff. And it was real
Tell
bad.
Tell the full story, James.
It was real bad. So
who did you call?
What you mean?
Who did you try to call?
I tried to call everybody.
Who did you not call?
I couldn't call you because I didn't remember your number.
I'm his one of his only friends.
You're not my only friend.
We're going to count his mother, okay? His kids don't count. I told him. I'm Dr. James, I'm blowing his phone up, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to voicemail. I'm like, okay, clearly something's up.
He thinking something happened to me. I'm thinking, the hood or something.
I didn't know. I'm also from Cleveland, so I figured the worst. And you should just memorize my number. Maybe you weren't calling your friends like you thought you were.
I can't remember it, bro. I can't remember.
It's okay.
Man, you know when you, because that happened to me today, too, man. Like, you know, you back in the day used to, like, go to football practice or whatever, and you get done training and salt be coming out your body.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's how it was, bro, that day, bro. It was terrible, man. Terrible. Dr. James, man, I know you're a chiropractor. You physically fit. What do you do for your training regimen?
Man, it's funny. I'm in the gym 6-7 days a week.
Wow. Okay.
So first of all, I do it just from a health standpoint. You know, I do it for, it's good for my mental, but I also do it to be at the top of my game. So I'm training just as far as like I'm very physical with my adjustments. So in order to do that, I got to work out. Yeah. So, but I'm in there. I'm on a strict regimen, you know, and I stick to it 6-7 days a week. You're going to catch me in the gym.
Are you doing splits or do you like body part splits or do you do like one day you focus on like individual muscle groups or whatever? How you do it?
So I normally do two muscle groups.
Okay.
Each workout, I normally do two muscle groups and I try to, you know, I superset if there's not a whole bunch of people in the gym.
Yeah.
Because you got the supersetters and there's, you know, 80 people in the gym. Yeah. And that's just stupid to me. But yeah, no, but I normally do two body parts and, you know, some core, stuff like that. But yeah.
Okay. Now, are you wearing your own apparel today?
I am. I am.
That's what's up.
Hey, man, listen, that hoodie is real goody.
Hey, appreciate
and those are my initials backwards. So, what's up? Are you? What size is it? Okay.
Hey, I'm about to get y'all some.
Please do. That's hard. I like that.
I got and wait till the spring. We got a whole thing of t-shirts coming out for the spring.
So do you think that you need to be in shape to be a chiropractor, or is it like, or is that just like a bonus because you're real physical?
I think it's a bonus.
Okay.
I think it's a bonus, but I will say this. I will say that it gives me an edge.
Mm.
It definitely gives me an edge. I can do physically what some just can't. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And now, I've seen you crack body parts that I didn't know could be cracked, like wrists, ankles, hips. Like, I just, like.
Have you been before?
I haven't been to them, no.
Oh, man.
We got to take a field trip.
I love.
We got to take a field trip to
get cracked.
Yeah.
My body cracked.
So when I used to play arena football.
Okay.
In Chicago, and I used to get a chiropractor every game or get before every game, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd come adjust us and stuff, get us ready for the games. But I haven't done it since.
This is about to sound like a juvenile question, but what's your favorite Do you have a favorite body part to crack?
You know,
what, man? Like, I don't know, based on like the response from the client, or the relief. I don't know.
You know what? So, my favorite part, I would say, is the neck. Mm. But it's the part that people are the most scared of, hands down. And it's actually my favorite. Dude, I could be asleep and roll over my bed, feel what's out, popping in, and go right back to sleep. Like, I could do it just like that. Wow. But people have seen way too many karate and martial art movies, and you know what I'm saying? And they are petrified because of that. You know, so I really got to get them to kind of relax for that because that's probably my favorite part.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I had someone, I was like, man, I need to go see a chiropractor. I need to get alignment. Because you actually, bro, like, you adjusted D, move with D.
Yeah.
Because she's off, and I saw her body, like, physically shift. Because I don't know if she has, like, what's something that makes her hips higher than the other.
Yeah.
But when you adjusted her, bro, it brought her all back in line. I was like, oh my God, this dude is crazy.
We did. Yeah. We did an analysis before I even adjusted her. And I mean, it was like, she kind of knew it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we did an analysis and it was like, wow. But, and I told her that's why we wanted to make sure we recorded it because I wanted her to see the results. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So once we finished, I mean, everything was balanced out and, you know, she competes and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, that really helps with the symmetry especially going into the show.
Yeah.
You know, you really want that symmetry.
So, but I had some people that were like talking to me about it, and they were like, you shouldn't go see a chiropractor because chiropractors, I know someone saw a chiropractor mm-hmm. and they've been paralyzed ever since. What do you say to someone who's has that fear?
I mean, honestly, for that to happen, a couple of things. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning sitting in this room on a sunny day.
Wow.
Wearing a rubber suit, I swear. It's highly, but here's the thing, you do. Just like all chiropractors aren't great chiropractors, just like any other type of doctor, you know what I'm saying? Things happen. And sometimes that, you know, before I adjust anybody, you know, you want to ask the right questions. You want to do your due diligence as far as the exam. You want to know their history because it could be something simple. You could perform the, you know, the move correctly, but it could be something where this particular patient has high blood pressure. Mm. And I mean, just being honest, every chiropractor is just not that good. I'm just being completely honest. I mean, wow. Some of them are great, and then you have some that just aren't good, and so their technique is not the best, and that can happen. But I've been doing this for almost 17 years, and knock on wood, I haven't had a single issue. So,
go ahead.
Last question before I get that a lot with CrossFitters because I'm a CrossFitter. So people are like, oh man, I don't do CrossFit because you get hurt. But I'd be like, man, CrossFit has evolved so much, mm-hmm. and the people that were like getting people hurt or people that were like just not good at their job, like not good coaches. They were bad coaches. So I get that for sure.
The first time I was introduced to going to a chiropractor, I've gone to three over the course of, I don't know, last 7 years or so. The first one I went to, he was asking me what happened and I was telling him, you know, doing CrossFit. Right. He kind of laughed and he was like, the majority of his clients are CrossFitters who are spend a lot of time lifting, not the adequate time, you know, warming up, cooling down, recovery, all that good stuff. Do you find yourself in your practice, your clients coming from like any trends?
I will say, now I did on the CrossFitting trend when it first started, I say this is roughly around 2012, 2013, between 2012, 2013. I had a lot of CrossFitters. I had a lot. Look, they was flooding my office. I'm not going to lie. Right, and you get, with just working out in general, you definitely get, I do have a lot of patients. It's just form, with homie who just normally lift, but their form is just terrible. Yep. I have gym equipment in my office. If you've been in there, you've seen I have a ton. So I like to really go back and analyze, like, form. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To show them, so I can help you, I can fix it, but, you know, it's going to continue if you continue to just throw heavy weights on and your form is trash. So, but no, I'll tell you this, I'll give you one. That milk crate trend.
Oh yeah,
listen.
That's something a lot of people see.
That milk crate trend.
That milk crate.
My lobby was full. That milk. People was going after that bread, and they was right back on office too.
So, man, I have absolutely no idea what you guys are talking about.
You know the milk crate trend where people was trying to walk up those stack of milk crates, and then they kept falling down.
Yes.
You do remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, bro, that was insane.
Oh, so you were getting
people
taking L's doing that.
Oh, they were taking all of L's. God. Oh.
Look, I was getting out. My lobby was flooded because of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, like chiropractic practice, I don't know the right way to say it, but it's only been around 100 years or so.
Give or take,
only 100 years. That's
good. Well, in the scope of medicine, just the 1800s at some point. You know,
okay.
For skeptics,
right?
Because I've come across people who I've had conversations with. I've sworn by, and they're like, I don't know. Like, what would you say to someone who kind of like to his question earlier, right, but is like, it hasn't been around that long, I don't need it. Like, what? How would it benefit me? Or for people that even think that once you start it, now you're relying on it. How would you approach somebody like that?
Well, I'll say it's always been a lot of skeptics. And so, you know, when I first came out of school or was in school, I took it very personal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I was also still very green to the profession as well, too, and still hadn't really got out and started practicing yet. So I took it. And I, you know, certain things, if somebody coming at you, you know, you're going to take things personal anyway. Man, that's just kind of how I was. But I would defend it. I would defend it, you know. But I got to a point where, like, say now, it's just kind of like the results speak for themselves. I've gotten to a point where I've seen hundreds of thousands of patients. I see hundreds in a week, and I honestly change lives. You know, I probably have about 2,000-3,000 testimonials on my page alone just from, and I don't ask anybody to post that, by the way, ever. But I've seen what it does. So when people, I'm just gonna be honest with you, and I'm not even gonna call them idiots. You just have people who are not knowledgeable, you know, so they just hear something and they just run with it. And I actually don't even entertain those people anymore. It's just, it's a waste of my time at this point. And for the people who, and some people are probably gonna be mad at me for saying this, but for the people who say, like, hey, you know, once you start going to a chiropractor, you gotta go forever, that is not true. So, because you have some chiropractors and you have some who give us a bad name when it comes to that. People ask me all the time, you know, how often would I have to come? And until I actually see you for myself, I can never give you an answer. Mm-hmm. I tailor every treatment plan based off of what you have going on, based off what you have going on. If, you know, you see a chiropractor and they just automatically, and they see 10 patients in a row and they give all 10 of those patients the exact same plan, you need to get the hell out of that office. They are not... You know, it's more so for their benefit as opposed to yours. Yeah. I'm going to see you for the need. And honestly, some of y'all, I might not need to see y'all again. If I get y'all together, you might come back for, say, maintenance care. You know, it is good for some maintenance care, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that, based off of, say, your lifestyle. You may play sports, stuff like that. But other than that, yeah, no, I'm not putting you on some kind of crazy plan. You know,
does someone with flat feet, does flat feet affect their back?
For some, depending on how their lifestyle is. I got flat feet.
Okay.
Yeah, I got flat feet. And so when I'm running, especially like on concrete, listen.
Because someone was talking to me, this podiatrist was talking to me. She was looking at my feet. She was like, oh, you're going to have back problems. I'm like, what? So how can you tell that just by looking at my feet? She was like, look, you run this marathon, like you're going to be hurting after this marathon because you're going to get an adjustment. I was like, okay, I don't know how you can tell because of my feet.
I'm telling you, it's because the way you heel toe when you run and you get more of a slap in there. And so that your lower back is your shock absorber. It's more than just your knees. So your lower back is your shock absorber. And as we get a little bit older as well, we lose a little bit of that sometimes, especially if we've been playing sports all our life. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm flat, man. I hear myself and I walk through the house and it's pop, pop. It feel like I'm hitting that hardwood.
Running really. So running was what had me go back the second time. And that's when I started really taking it more serious as far as seeing a chiropractor and trying to do some just like at home rehab that they were suggesting. But yeah, running, that pounded on that back.
Especially concrete. Pause.
Man, that's the second one today, bro.
This is strange. Man. Hey, man.
It just came out, man.
Let's move on. So you know what I'm saying? I met you a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think you were a great doctor then. You had your own practice, building, doing your thing. And I feel like in the past, like, couple years, like, you blown up.
Blew up.
It's been crazy.
Blew up. Like you did. You've been doing crazy numbers on the videos. You've been getting all these celebrities. Whenever they come to Cleveland, I feel like you're like the first stop on their list. Like,
a lot of them.
Yeah. They come see you first. So, like, that's major. So, like, what was your first viral moment? Like, first viral video?
First viral video, it was a, if, I don't know if y'all seen these videos. Something happens, and I'm like, damn, they're going to need a chiropractor.
Okay.
That was one of my first viral videos. I was in L.A.
Somebody did something crazy, and you was like, they're going to need a chiropractor.
Listen, that was the first, it was probably the second one I did. That video was maybe 7 seconds long. And it was a girl who was deadlifting and just kind of like folded up under the weight.
Ooh.
And I was like, damn, you're going to need a chiropractor. And I woke up and it was like, this is doing numbers. That video got up to 38 million views.
What?
I swear on everything. To the point, like, Instagram removed it and I had to hit them back. I got screenshots. I hit them back like, hey, y'all got to put that back up. And the crazy thing is I had deleted it and I put it back, archived it and put it back up, and it just went crazy. Wow. 38 million views. Wow. And to the point where I was like, people was getting mad when I wasn't, my DMs got flooded with people just messing themselves up and like, hey, go one for you, doc. Hey, go one for you, doc. They don't need a chiropractor, doc. So, which was cool. It was real cool. But that was the first probably crazy video that went just viral.
So are people hitting you up on Instagram like to come in for appointments, or how is your client base building?
I will say this, my following is very organic and my client base is extremely organic. Like, I don't go out. I really don't market anymore, to be honest with you. I don't do any marketing anymore at all. Actually, I have a waiting list, which is, it's been times. I remember at times where I was sitting there and, twiddling my thumbs, hoping somebody walked through the door. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And it's gotten to the point now where, I do have a waiting list of patients, and it's a blessing. But
it is a blessing.
And I can't keep up with all the DMs. I can't. So that's why I tell people that I try to. And a lot of it go to like your spam account. So I try to tell people to hey, call the office and get them in. But I do my best to try to get everybody in best I can anyway.
I think Nick Cannon might have spoken on that before, that he doesn't do any, or he wouldn't do any promotion other than just the work that he was doing.
Yeah.
And in your profession, like, this is at least for me, and I think most people would probably say this too. You're in a profession where most of your clients, if not all, have no idea. Like, there's no expertise that I'm bringing to you
right,
of my own. So I'm trusting you. So my encounter with you, like, you, the way that you interact with me, I'm like, I'm sitting my hat on that. I'm like, right, man, this is. I want to be confident and comfortable
with
the person.
What are you talking about? You talking about being vulnerable? Like,
if you have your back and have your neck cracked.
It's a very vulnerable moment.
This is emotional for you. Are you okay? Are you okay right now? Jesus.
What I'm trying to say is, have you ever had someone on your table cry?
Oh, man, every week. But not in a bad way, though.
Right, because it's like you said, you're helping improve people's lives. Stop, man. I definitely don't want you to crack my back.
I don't want to crack your back. I was trying to give you a hug, man.
No, you're not.
I feel like you're very vulnerable right now.
Hey, that way, we're having a moment right now. You know what I'm saying?
For me.
I'm like, where is this going?
I'm gonna be in your office this week.
Listen, but
you can't get in. What are you talking about?
I'm gonna just walk in and be like, "Help!
You're not getting in, bro. You are not getting in right now. What are you talking about? I'm being in your office this week. No, you're not.
Oh, but no, that is funny. But it's a very vulnerable moment. People either gonna laugh. I see a lot of that. People either gonna laugh, cuss, or cry, and they run through
fart?
That tissue.
What about fart?
Hey, I was. The video I posted yesterday is like a whole comment section about farting on that comment. Listen.
Hey, man, it happened to me in the gym. Every time somebody does abs, they be farting all the time.
Neck cracked and then like their nose starts running. Or like maybe their hearing was messed up.
I mean, I do adjustments to help kind of open up sinuses and stuff like that. Yeah, for sure. Help with vertigo, stuff like that. Help bring the crystals out of the ear canal.
We had crystals in our ear canal. Yeah.
My bag is very deep. Neither. My bag of techniques is very deep.
Deep?
It's
deep. Yeah?
Yeah, it's really deep. So
if you
it's
need
not
your crystals released.
Pretty much anybody that can come off I don't care. I've seen it all, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody that can walk through that door. I'm like, I got to turn around, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny you say that, though. That's a lot of people. Hey, I got a guy. He's gonna wait. he's not gonna care if I tell this, if I say this, but one of my dudes, Alan Bozeman, great friend of mine. He's an attorney here at Cleveland, and I mean, the first time he got adjusted, and you know, had him on the table, you know, getting ready to adjust his neck, and he stops me, like he stops before I can do it. And, hey, wait. He was like, wait, hey, bro. You've met my kids. You've met my kids. You met my mom. You have a family. I was just like,
he said, bro, do not leave me parallel. Yeah, out here, right?
Like, and know that I'm here right now. Like, you know that I, you know, I pride myself on being a great father, James. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, that don't stress me out before I adjust your neck. It's gonna be okay. You know, but
do you ever have to distract your clients, like diverge their attention? If
all
they're
the time, I see them do it all the time.
All the time, yeah, all the time. I mean, because you have some, and they, I mean, they're so tense. And I don't even want to say what I do because now y'all be looking for it.
Yeah, don't even tell. Yeah, but
I got a few techniques, man. That and I'm really and here's another, I'm really in tune with the body to the point where like when I'm palpating or I'm getting ready to adjust and stuff like that is where I'll start kind of like. I could feel the breath and I'll kind of start pattern changing my breathing to them, to how they're breathing, to kind of connect, to kind of, you know, catch it. So our breath is on the same.
Don't even
then,
drop them the bar. Man, you giving out gems right now.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm really in tune. I become really in tune with the body. Like I just kind of, when I start to adjust, I just zone out, man. It's just,
So like you're a doctor, man. Like what? So you could have been a doctor of anything, probably surgeon, plastic, whatever. But what made you want to do chiropractic?
You're right. I was actually on that road at the time. I was biology major at Fort Valley State University.
Okay.
You know, shout out to my HBCU.
Yes, sir. And, HBCU.
I was you know, pre-med, what have you, and I had to take this exit exam, and you had to for the biology department. And my scores were high. You know what I'm saying? But I was already looking at taking the MCAT, some other stuff, and you know, and I wanted to do sports medicine. You know, I just wanted to do maybe ortho, maybe do just some knees, you know, just work on athletes, do some knee surgeries, you know, elbow, whatever, shoulder. It was fun. A recruiter came down. He was like, hey, I'm looking for James Aubrey. He's in here. You know what I'm saying? Came to my class. Like, we saw your scores. We would love for you to just come take a look at the, just come, you know, see the campus, da, 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 da. And I'm looking at it like, it's a free trip to Atlanta. I'm in Georgia. I've been in Georgia my entire life, so I'm like, it's a free trip to Atlanta. You know, put me up in a house, and you know, I can hang out when I'm up there.
Around,
you know, I got some people up there. You know, so but I got on campus and I started to really, I really kind of took to the philosophy of everything and what it was about and some of the other certifications. If you see my wall, I have a very I have a wall of achievement. I'll just say that, you know, humbly. And it was a lot of other things that I can get while I was there. And I was just like, this might be a fit. And so I started it. And as I really kind of got into the hands-on, it was more of like, damn, I'm a natural at this. This is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt like I was just in the right place. So it really kind of found me. It was not on my radar. I got to school and everybody had these amazing chiropractic experiences about how it changed their lives and I didn't have none of that. You know what I'm saying? I had none of that. So it was all new to me.
So speaking of that, I was looking at your page the other day and I noticed there's a story that I think was on Channel 3 News, maybe.
Yeah, it was on a few channels up here, but Channel 3 definitely was one of the stories,
For those of you listening, a local news channel here in Cleveland. But they did a story on you, and it was very impactful. And I wanted to kind of ask you a little bit about that. But what you're doing right now is not by happenstance. And I think your story, how it's set up for what you're doing now, is pretty amazing, pretty remarkable. Is there anything that you wouldn't mind just maybe sharing about your childhood or what led up to you doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, I really do feel like, I'll say this to start with, it was probably maybe about 4 years ago, it just like hit me like a ton of bricks that I'm really living in my purpose right now. Like I wake up in the morning and this is my purpose. And I'm glad I found it. You know what I'm saying? When I was younger though, and it never hit, cause I never really spoke about it. Cause I never wanted anybody to treat me differently. I never wanted a handout. So this is one of those struggles, or this is one of those things that I'm going to kind of just deal with by myself in a few you know, in my small, my family, my small circle anyway. And, but yeah, when I was 11 years old, I got diagnosed with a very rare cancer for adolescents called epithelial sarcoma. And, you know, went and I was playing, it was at the time I was playing football and it was, I had a, like a knot on my hand, but it got to the point where I, you know, I'm from the era of just shake it off. You know what I'm saying? Just, hey, throw some dirt on it. It'll be all right. Just shake it off and keep and get back out there. And but it got to the point I couldn't even catch the ball anymore because every time it hit my hand, it was like a stat, like a knife hit it. So I told my pops, like, hey, this is, we got to figure this out. I can't even catch the ball. And so, you know, they did a biopsy and it came back as that. But when it did, he gave me no, he only gave me one option. And he was just like, listen, we can amputate. We can amputate the hand. And I was like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all you got? And he was like, and he was real cold too, man. He was just like, yeah, that's all I got. We can amputate the hand. Maybe the best I could do is maybe cut off a couple of fingers, slide your thumb over or something like that. And, you know, but I can't make any guarantees. And so I was like, well, before we make the decision, will, you know, will I live? And, you know, he was just like, maybe a few more months, give or take. Maybe you might make it a year because he gave me 6 months. He said, but if you don't have this, you know, you got about 6 months, give or take. And I convinced my dad at 11 to, like, not go through with it. So, yeah, he did. He, I went to a bunch of different, like, doctors down in, you know, Georgia and down in Florida, and they changed my diet. Like, I've been, some everybody has noticed, but I've been a vegetarian since I was 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, man, no barbecue. You can't get no supper.
I went from eating gizzards to broccoli, man. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was.
Jeez, wait.
Yeah, so it was tough.
And that's interesting, because I'm really thinking about going vegetarian, man. Like, I really think that eating meat, like, just puts so much weight on me, bro, to be honest. I'm just thinking, like, it's the healthiest way to go. I've been thinking about it. I've really been thinking about it.
He looked at you kind of like, nah, that's on you, bro.
That's on you.
That's on you.
All I know is this man right here is you've made a trend of making certain statements on the show that you have to live up to. So
I do live. So
one of them being the marathon. I'm just saying, just
so whatever I say, look, I'm big on whatever I say.
Okay.
Whatever I say, bro, I make it happen. And so, like, I'm not just talking. If I'm saying I want to be vegetarian, like, I'm really considering it. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm about to go be right now, but you just telling that story, like, you basically healed your body,
yeah,
through your diet, which is crazy.
Yeah, it was tough too. It was tough, but it was one of those things where, like, if this is what I got to do, I made every change they said I had to make.
But why don't people, doctors, say that to begin with? Like, give people a behavior change option, like, versus just saying, hey, man, You're done. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's rough. Like, why don't you give me, like, hey, man, you can change your behaviors. You can do this. You eat this diet, follow this plan, and you'll live. Versus, I'm going to cut some stuff off. I'm going to give you chemo. I'm going to do this, da, 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 da. Yeah. Like, this is going to be the life for you. Like, but you never even gave me another option.
No other options whatsoever. I mean, because a lot of times, this is a time where there's no organic this and no grass-fed this. This is, you know, it was so many carcinogens in the meat because it just basically took the whole whatever it was animal and just boom, grind it up. We made this patty. We made this.
Yeah.
It was not, you know, it was pretty just kind of raw and uncut then at that point. So, you know, that would take, it was, you know, I was, so we was eating foods with a lot of just carcinogens in it in general. So my, you know, diet became completely really just raw. I was just drinking like raw vegetable juices all day. But it was starting off, man, it was to the point, and I didn't notice until later, like, I would be so weak, like, some days I couldn't even stand up, like, I had to be carried to the car, you know what I'm saying? And there's other days where, you know, I felt okay, and other days, like, yeah, I couldn't even walk.
But you still you still strong, right? You got muscles right now. So what you doing differently? Like, how are you able to maintain and keep your muscles? I know you will say you work out, but...
Yeah, and people, it's funny, I get that all the time, because over the last couple years, I switched to plant-based protein. I was doing, like, whey isolates, but I've really kind of gotten off all the, you know, the whey and anything like that. But I've switched to, like, all plant-based protein, even plant-based.
I like them better, though, to be honest. They taste better, too.
You don't feel as bloated, either.
You don't feel as bloated, true.
That's the thing. You just feel bloated and just kind of heavy with it.
Yeah.
You know, even with the isolates you do.
Yeah.
But no, man, I just, natural proteins, man. Just, I was looking, you know, just eating foods that are, you know, not, like, quinoas and stuff like that. Mm. Like, I just make sure I try to put some form of, like, superfood, some kind of, like, all natural protein that's in my diet every day. And granted, I got to work a little harder because of it. And I used to have a buddy, he's like, bro, if you ate steak, you'd be jacked. You'd be like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, I got to work twice as hard to do it, but hey,
no, I'm cool.
Man, I'm cool. It does what it does.
I caught a clip.
I think I might become a vegan.
Look, these
I mean, eat meat every once in a while.
Hey, you might have coined a new phrase and new t-shirt right now. That's a new t-shirt.
You sound like the typical American. That's what we do.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm a vegan except when I'm eating meat.
Oh, man.
Oh, bro.
There's so many fat vegans, though. Can I just tell you?
Man, that's not, well, that doesn't
you,
mean.
You want to know why, though, so many fat vegans? They'd be like, all right, boom, cut off meat. But I'm also eating, you know, I'm eating desserts every day. I'm eating a ton of sugar. I'm eating a ton of
can't you eat fried rice
this
and
fried
pasta?
That, pastas.
Yeah.
So they, you know, and just because you don't eat meat, I mean, come on, damn, you just you fill it in with all all this other trash.
Just because you're a vegan doesn't mean you're
potato chips.
Out you know, what some kind of look. I was listening to Kevin Garnett. I don't know if you guys caught this clip. Kevin Garnett had a DK Metcalf.
Okay.
On
he eats terrible,
and he was saying.
That's when he ate all the candy or something?
Yeah, he said he would work out in the morning, like once or twice.
Drink coffee,
two or three bags of candy, and then
eat dinner at night,
like one meal.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And as you get older, man, listen, diabetes is enters the chat.
Enters the chat.
If that diet continues.
But I think, you know, it's something called trend, some call Anavar, some call anabolics that allows you to do stuff like that and get away with it. But that's just my personal opinion. Yeah. A couple things, you know, allow you to do that. Because that's not sustainable for anybody, like for you to just be able to eat that unhealthy and then be that jacked and be that. Because think about it.
That's crazy.
Think about how many calories that person like burns up through a day, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't even make sense that they're not even refueling their body. Come on, man. Like, so that means that they're, to me.
So he's lying.
So no, he's not lying. It just sends us a red flag in my brain that he's doing something else.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah, I'm out. No, it just sends a red flag in my brain that they're doing something else.
Are you trying to have a cat moment?
No, not a cat moment. I'm just saying, like, bruh, people, I think people would do a lot better if everybody would just come clean. And I don't mean like come clean and literally. Just like be clean, literally. Like, there's so many people taking so many different supplements. Anabolics, EPOs, different stuff like that. I wish people would come clean so that the world can feel better. Because I think like you got people thinking that they can just take creatine and drink a protein shake and look a certain way, and that's not necessarily the truth, man. It's not necessarily the truth. So I think like if people just came clean and kept it real, the world would be a better place, man. And you wouldn't be so much body dysmorphia and so much like people having all these angst and different and feel some type of way about their bodies. Because y'all come clean. Just like all the women had to come clean when they was getting those BBLs and stuff and getting those butt injections. And you could tell. I drunk a flat tummy tea.
That
tea did not do that.
The BBLs need adjustments. It changed that muscle memory. That back started hurting a little bit.
I'm sure, man.
The BBLs look too bad. I haven't seen too many that I was like, okay. Yeah. I see more that I was like, nah, okay. I'm good,
but they be like, you seen the meme that said,
if it looks like an equilateral,
the knees don't match.
It's not
the knees don't match. Good, that's what I'm saying. The knees don't match. But
sometimes the knees don't match. Sometimes can we say this? The attitude should match. If you're gonna get that, please like check your attitude. Cause
they got that so they can have the attitude. They got that BBL to have that attitude.
Sometimes they be thinking that they look a certain way when they don't. Yes.
Oh, they don't.
I mean, I guess what you're saying, if you have a BBL that's trash, that turned out terrible, then you can't have that attitude.
They don't even know it's trash, bro. Listen,
that's where we come in. So that's what I think. I think that if you're gonna get, first of all, I think you're gonna have a BBL, right? You obviously
nothing wrong with it.
Let's make that very clear.
Yeah, nothing wrong with
it. You get it. You got it for at least yourself, but you also got it for people too, and that's cool. If that's what you want to do, that's cool.
Yeah.
But this, you know, it's like when you get a lot of fame or you get a lot of fortune, and then you're an asshole about it. That's like, just, you know, be humble about it.
That's what you're saying.
That person was already an asshole, bro. It's just like,
sometimes it looks like a weird backboard.
You're saying the money just pushed the assholeness on another level.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like that BBL just pushed her attitude up. She already probably was a B word, bro. Like, she probably already was like that. And then then she got that BBL and just turned her up.
Like, if you got a BBL and you're really shy, it's like, what's up?
Man, that's crazy. But you know what's crazy now? Oh, no, it's crazy
to me. No, you said that's crazy. And then you said, but. Ironically.
No. What's crazy is the BBLs is getting out of shape. Y'all go and get BBLs, and then you get, then that body out of shape. What are y'all doing?
I mean, you still got to go to the gym.
You still got to go to the gym.
You still got to tone. You still got to go to the gym. You just can't. Yeah. And they tell you, you still got to work out. Yeah.
We got a lady coming on here later on who does the Ozempic shots like for like diabetes and stuff like that. Yeah. She's coming in later this month. And she was telling me about how like some of her clients, they get the shots and they still don't make lifestyle changes. So she's like, yo. So like, she said that like they would be hungry. They wouldn't be hungry, but would still go eat like fried chicken and stuff like that.
It's the same as the people, patients who come in, they'll get the GI surgery, they'll get the strap and the stuff like that, and as soon as they kind of get past their initial restrictions of, you know, hey, I can't eat X, Y, and Z for a time being, they go right back to the previous diet. You know what I'm saying?
So I used to be under the notion that I don't want to see nobody who needs therapy. But then I heard a therapist once say that you need to go lose weight first, go work out, get yourself in shape before you come see me. And she was saying that because if a person doesn't lose weight and get in shape, then when she does all the work to get their mind right, that they just regress back because they haven't done the steps necessary to become a disciplined, sustainable human being. I was like, God damn.
They go hand in hand. That's true mentally and physically, because I have a lot of patients where, you know, they may come in with certain pains, and let's just say his knees, for instance, but you're probably just, and you're, say, 100, 150 pounds overweight, you know, and granted, you know, how you got there is how you got there. I'm not here to judge. However, we're here now, you know what I'm saying, and moving forward, you know, I'm going to do my part to help you get better, and in the meantime, too, I want you to do your part to help yourself get better. So, and that, you know, and I'm really, really big on lifestyle changes, depending on what you need. So, because my thing is, I can work on your knees all day. You see what I'm saying? But if you're carrying around an extra 100, 150 pounds, that's a human being you're carrying around your back every day. Your knees aren't, you know what I'm saying, for your BMI. Yeah, they're not built to carry that much weight.
Help me.
Yeah. So it's like, please, but you got to help me help you. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
you do tell clients like, yo, hey, you got to tighten up.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very blunt in my office.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very, and that's one thing, and I think that's why my patients love me, respect me, is because, you know, when I talk to them, I speak to, I would say the majority of my patients is if we're just having a conversation on the front porch. And that's probably why so many of them feel comfortable by the time they get up on my table, because, you know, I'm not talking down on them. I'm not, you know what I'm saying, belittling anybody, you know, because I've been on both sides of that table. I've been on both sides of that desk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, but yeah, I'm very blunt, you know, with them. Yeah, so.
So as a kid, I can remember my mom, I don't know if you guys had similar experiences. She would always knock.
Black? Did you say that because we black? we ain't got a mom around? What are you saying, man? Man, you been tripping today, because I just want to let you know.
First of all.
We black? I don't know if you guys had this experience. I don't know how you black people are raised.
First of all. I want to make this very clear, first of all. First of all, James Abrams, not you, Dr. James, you're an idiot. Second of all, what I was going to get at before my occasional racist co-host felt the need to cut me off. I would crack my knuckles a lot, and I still do. And my mom would say, "Oh, you're gonna get fat knuckles or arthritis." Can you speak to like just the because like my ankles, like they'll crack all day.
Yeah.
I'll do my neck once in a while, but is there like daily?
Not your neck.
I know, man. But like, can you speak to that for like someone like me who's doing a lot of that? Is there Should I not do that?
should I?
Help me.
So, I'm gonna let people know it's like, because I have, you know, patients who come in and be like, "Doc, I was adjusting myself but I couldn't." You're not adjusting yourself. Let me make that very clear. What you're doing is a kind of a gross manipulation, and you're just kind of moving, you know, a hypermobile joint because you keep doing the same thing. So your muscles are gonna have, you know, get to the point where now, you know, they're used to that. And that starts to cause a muscular imbalance. Like, for instance, people think I'm just in there just, let me just move some stuff. I'm actually, those movements are actually very specific. My hands are on very specific places. Like, it may seem, but on very specific places, certain parts of my hand are touching very, certain parts of the bone. But so when you can kind of do just, you know, and it's not good.
So it's making it worse.
I'm actually fixing what you're doing.
Figure that.
Yeah, get it together, man.
First of all, you need to keep it down over there.
I'm sorry.
I don't like your tone or the theme that you're presenting in this episode.
I just don't like the fact that you just don't think that we got mothers that talk to
us. I didn't say that. I asked if I was the only one that had this conversation.
Oh, man.
Wow. Nobody said anything about it. Now watch you clip this up.
See, that went left real fast.
I know, man. I was nervous. I'm like, what? I have a mother, Chad.
I know. She's one of your few friends. Oh, my God.
Love my mom. Abrams. That's my homie, though.
Yeah, shout out to moms, man.
Yeah, shout out to my mom, man. That's,
for sure.
That's the homie.
I cannot stand you, bro. What was your favorite childhood sandwich?
Man. Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Classic.
Because it's one of the first things I can make without having to, I can get in the kitchen and make myself. Yeah, but grilled cheese. Let me ask y'all a question then.
Yeah.
If we're talking about childhood food, sugar in your grits? Or savory?
Savory, man.
Yeah, you lost me on that one, bro. Savory. I probably didn't even know grits was a thing until I got older.
Really?
Yeah. I grew up in an Arabic Italian home.
Gotcha. Okay.
Grits was not a... Well, my dad probably liked grits, but it was never a thing in our house.
Your dad from Detroit.
Yeah.
So you definitely had some grits.
I was saying, grits didn't make it into the Abraham household. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Grits and cream of wheat was a staple, man.
I never had cream of wheat to an adult.
No, I haven't had it as an adult. But growing up as a kid,
we never
grits,
had
cream of wheat.
We had grits, though.
We had to eat in a rush so we can catch that bus.
And oatmeal. Oatmeal is my favorite, like, morning thing.
What do you put in your oatmeal?
Brown sugar and butter.
I probably put so much brown sugar, it should just be called brown sugar. Brown featuring oatmeal.
Diabetes has entered the chat.
brown sugar and butter used to be my go-to.
The PBJ always brings me back to my... I mean, I love grilled cheese. That's a staple. Yeah. But the PBJ...
You cut the corners off?
What? Everything is fair game. How old are you?
I'm asking.
Do you still cut the corners off
for my daughter.
Okay, for your daughters.
Yeah. That's why I asked.
Peanut butter banana sandwich.
Yes,
that was a go-to for me too. That's a good one.
My dad, you have a very mature palate because I didn't get that till I was like about 17.
It was 18. My dad, man. That was his favorite sandwich.
Okay,
so that was my dad's favorite sandwich, and so yeah, he liked that and what? What's the ice cream pecan?
Butter pecan.
I hated that.
I feel like butter pecans for 40 and up.
He loved it. I hated it.
Butter pecan ice cream is for people 40 and up. Period.
Do you got a favorite ice cream?
I mean, growing up it was like strawberries. Now that my palate is mature, it's all over the place now.
What is it?
That's a good question.
Do you mess with Mitchell's?
I do.
Mitchell's my favorite.
But they only got like two vegan ice creams though.
Yeah. So they got three now.
They got three?
Three now, yeah.
Oh. All right then.
Yeah, Mitchell's go hard. I love Mitchell's. The chocolate one is good because I never had like with coconut. It's like a coconut milk based. Then they got the caramel one, and they have a new one that's like a peanut butter cup one.
In grad school it became Dolce de Leche.
Dolce de Leche,
Haagen-Dazs.
Yes.
This brother is fancy.
That became my go to in grad school. Yep, man, I got hip to that, and I was stuck.
Yeah, I'm a mint chocolate chip kind of guy.
Yeah, mint chocolate chip.
I don't think I've had that before.
That's my. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a vegan.
Even
there is a variety of that.
I was eating regular ice cream for a while. You know, as I got older, I was about to eat regular ice cream again, but just now, it just might not sit well with me, and I might have a long day. So if I got so I got to eat it at night, which goes back to you mentioned something earlier about patience about farting. I didn't touch on that, but I will say this: patience do farting on my table is common. You know, I push on your back, and I remember the first time I was a year in practice. I had been practicing probably 3 months, and I had this girl on my table, and as soon as I pushed down, and I was like kind of low. To the lower back, and I pushed down, and she let it go. I wasn't gonna say a word. My mouth was open, so I was a little upset about that. I don't care what I spoke, but my mouth was open at the time. And when I did it, I didn't say a word. I was just gonna keep going
because you couldn't.
And then she hit me with a "Pardon me." And when I almost lost it. So I wasn't mature enough yet. You know what I'm saying? I was fresh out of school. I wasn't that mature yet. And now it was just kind of like.
It was loud or quiet, silent but deadly, or had no. It was
loud.
To it.
It was loud, so she knew I couldn't ignore it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she knew she couldn't ignore it.
You got to address it at that point.
But it comes out now, and you know, I don't even say that. I just kind of keep moving. They'll say something, but no, it's all good. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's all good. Yeah, that's just. But it's natural. It happens.
So are you making notes though? So I know, like, when I go to the chiropractor, they're always doing something on the screen. So like. For your own sake, when something like that happens, you say, okay, a patient might rip ass.
If I press on the L-lumbar 5.
I do take notes, but those right there are mental notes. I kind of know, like, listen, when I adjust this person, let me just keep my head turned opposite of the cheeks. You know what I'm saying? Let me make sure that I don't catch downwind.
Now, you a Kappa, right?
Yep.
Because Noop, that's what Noop stands for, Kappa, mm-hmm. right? All right. So that means that you swaggy, cool. Have you ever dealt with like a client trying to be inappropriate with you?
Not because I was Greek. It wasn't. Yeah.
What's the question? I'm saying though, because you a Kappa, you got the swag. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's just a precursor. You know what I'm saying?
But
they tried to, has a client ever tried you? Try to like, come in there wearing the wrong attire or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I have a lot of Greeks and I have a lot of other frats in there.
Yeah.
It's all love. Undergrad, you know, we bumped heads a lot. A lot. On my campus anyway. We bumped heads. But it's actually I enjoy seeing the other frats come in, and it's funny, at one point I had
I'm talking about so like for me
James wants juice.
No I'm gonna give you a story.
Let's get to it.
I'll give you a story. So we have a friend here that used to do massages.
Mm-hmm. Here you go.
So he used to do massages.
Yeah.
And so he had an issue with, he was doing a massage on a guy.
Issue is an understatement.
And the guy ended up pitching a tent on him. during the massage, right? So, but prior to that, when he came into the room, the guy was butt naked on the table. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he kind of was like, hey, he kind of knew something was up. Like, you know what I'm saying? With that, have you ever experienced like people trying to like try you at like at one of their appointments?
I thought that's what he was getting at first. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I'm saying,
but to answer your question, man, hell yeah. Man, it's. If the walls could talk, man. It's,
you ain't got to go into detail.
Yeah, but
you gotta I don't know that people ever do that.
Look, this is my, you know, and it's one of those places where, you know, nothing is worth me losing what I work for. Thanks. You know what I'm saying? So I maintain a sense of professional decorum, you know, and it's kind of, I mean, because trust me, just I've walked in that room before. I've walked in my office before, and I'm like looking for the patient, and I'm like, I just said the patient was about it. I walked in the room looking for the patient, and yeah, it's a patient in there, and they've like stripped, and I'm like, "Hey, yo!" And I can't get out that room fast enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, they said things, but it happens on a regular basis. It, you know,
hey, man, no pink with your green, ladies. You ain't mixing no pink with green. Hey, all right, it's only acceptable if you're AKA. We're not doing that. No pink with your green.
And people feel like, you know, hey, you know what I'm saying? Well, he's a man. You right. You are absolutely right.
We're not done.
However, it's just in here, it's not worth losing. Just not worth losing everything that
I'm cooking this billable hour after this. So don't think this is going down.
It's how I feed my, this is how I'm creating generational wealth. I can't mess that up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. That's just funny though, man. I'm sure, man. Listen, man, it just happens to you. Like when you're a professional and you mm-hmm. and you getting it, especially with you going viral and stuff. I'm sure that DMs, like, you get more than just the friendly DMs. You know what I'm saying? But like, so like, I would advise any young man, bro, like, keep your business your business, man. Just like he just said, it's not worth you risking your stuff. I always try to take a moment to be a teachable moment on these shows. Yeah. Look, bro, I've definitely experienced it. Listen, man, I've been in a situation where I messed with one client, and messing with one client cost me 8 clients. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about thousands I ended up missing out on because I messed with one client. So I would advise you, young men, for sure, keep your pink and your green separate, bro.
You got to.
Pink and your green separate.
And I mean, especially if you're a man that's, let's just say you've lived a little bit. Come on, man. It's just not, you know what I'm saying?
You don't want to bring it into your workspace. It's not worth it. It's not good for
you. Because they be coming there feeling entitled and stuff, bringing you stuff up to the. Hey, man, listen, lady. Hey, I am working.
I mean,
talk about it.
Listen, the occasional smoothie, I'm not going to turn that down. I'm not going to turn that down. You know, the cheat, you know, I'm not going to turn down the occasional stuff, but. Snacks. I'll be hungry. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna turn down the occasional snacks. Okay, snack.
But don't try me, ladies. Yeah. Don't try my boy. I'll be focused right now.
Are you currently a professor also?
Yeah. So I haven't been teaching currently right now, but I've been teaching since at University of Phoenix since I was 27.
Okay.
Yeah, and wow. I teach a class called Paradigms of Health. It's a class. It's like an overall health and wellness class, kind of like just, but it incorporates everything about health and wellness, intro to contemporary medicines, which kind of touches on like chiropractic, anything but outside of your Western medicine. I mean, you talk about everything from, I mean, you talk about witch stuff over in like these small villages, like, you know what I'm saying, everything, and then nutrition, but I teach it on more of like a molecular level. I try to do my best to make it as fun as possible.
Like acupuncture, you talk about that type stuff?
Yeah, all that type of stuff. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Anything that's just typically out of your, you know, your that does not necessarily medication and surgeries.
Do you have any practices for yourself that you like that would be considered, I don't know, contemporary or not, your average? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm big with like I said, things that, like diet things, more so like herbs and things like that. Mm. That may, you know, before I go to like a lot of different medicines, I'm quicker to try something that's more of a natural, you know, more of a herb, whether it's topical, you know, whether it's a, you know, type of vitamin or something like that. You know, I'm not really just big on popping pills, you know, to be honest with you. Acupuncture, stuff like that. You know, I'm into more, stuff like that. But yeah.
All right, and we're going to let you go, man. We're about to wrap up. But before we go, man, what's the difference between seeing a chiropractor and seeing a physical therapist? Like, do you do one or do you do both? Do you do one more than the other? Like, what's the difference?
And so first I'll start off by saying it's a lot of people that think chiropractors and PTs have beef. And some do. I think it's dumb as hell. It's no point that we do. It's no point to have any type of beef. It's been the silliest argument. And if you have that, you're missing out on a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. If you think they're not working with a physical therapist, or a physical therapist thinking about not working with a chiropractor, you're missing out on money over something that is crazy to me. But because we have physical therapists that work in my office, mm-hmm. you know, and they do an amazing job. They do an amazing job. They have their lane. They have their niche. They're amazing, you know, for rehab and stuff like that. They spend a lot of time with the patient. Now me, you know, I'm board certified in physiotherapeutics, so I can do rehabs, stuff like that. However, me personally, I don't want to spend an hour with the patient. I don't. Yeah. You know, I love treating my patients, but I don't want to spend that much time. You know, I want to get in there. I want to adjust and you do have some, and I'm going to kind of tread on this. You do have some physical therapists that do, they add it to the curriculum, I think later, some form of manipulation. Mm. It's not on the level, but that's all we really, that's our 99% of our focus is, you know what I'm saying? In every form. So it's like, it's not a class or two. It's, this is what we do. Mm. And so I kind of want to stay into my, you know, I prefer to stay in my bag and stay in my wheelhouse and do what I do. Now, the other stuff is great because I do have patients where I can like, yeah, let's show you how to rehab this. Let me show you how to do this, this and this. So I'm glad I'm able to do it. But chiropractors, man, we really do focus on, you know, the neuromuscular aspect, of things, you know, through, you know, clearing interference through the spine. And as y'all seen me do, you know, I do extremities. If it's not, if it can move, I can move it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So,
quote him.
If it can move, I can move it. Like I had, and I'm gonna let this, and I'm gonna say this. I had a patient came in, dude 6'8", 350, big dude, and this, and he was seeing a chiropractor. I don't know the chiropractor out in like Palmer somewhere. I don't know who it is, but he was like, man, listen, the guy, he said the guy went to go adjust me. He was like, man, he jumped on me for like 5 minutes. I mean, just literally feet was leaving the ground. He was like, he said, and then he finally got off me, stood back, and he was sweating. The shirt was wet. And he was like, hey, bro, I'm going to give you money back. I couldn't move nothing. Wow. And before he even got on my table, I was like, bro, I'm about to adjust you like you 115 pounds. And I did. I mean, everything was moving. Just, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, I'm confident in what I do, man. I love what I do. I have a passion for what I do. Mm. Yeah,
let's get it, man. Me and Chad about to get on the waiting list.
Man, look, we're gonna take a field trip to the office. We need to do a part two.
Absolutely.
And well, we set it up and we get y'all adjusted.
Do okay. Do all the scare tactics with him.
Why? I'm not scared.
You did, but you said you haven't been.
Since. I haven't been, but I'm not scared though.
Look,
so.
God's great.
Dr. James.
Dr. Albert, man. Thank you so much.
Thank
man.
You. Your work.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, your work is obviously well respected, and we appreciate you being here sharing your story.
Thanks for sharing your story, bro. Like, man, you touched me, man. Like,
no, I appreciate it.
Whoa.
So, come on, man. He touched people all day, but he ain't touched me like that. Stop being weird, man.
Stop being jealous? Weird. You got real.
Oh, you say jealous?
You know what? You can let him go first.
This dude is strange, man.
Let him jump the wait list.
Hey, man. Thank you guys for watching, man. We out.